Hello everyone, I'm Julia Charlton, a partner of Charlton's, and I'm delighted to be here with you today to talk about the new Hong Kong licensing regime for virtual asset service providers and the new registration regime for dealers in precious metals and stones, which are being introduced under amendments to the current anti-money laundering and counter-terrorist financing ordinance. Turning now to today's webinar, amendments to the anti-money laundering and counter-terrorist financing ordinance were introduced to LegCo in July 2022 with the aim of establishing in Hong Kong a licensing regime for virtual asset service providers known as VASPs and a registration regime for dealers in precious metals and stones, DPMs. If implemented, the amendments will put into place the requirements of the Financial Action Task Force, FAT Act, that VASPs should be subject to the same anti-money laundering and counter-terrorist financing obligations as financial institutions, and to a statutory licensing or registration regime, and that DPMS should be subject to a statutory AML-CTF regime in the same way as other designated non-financial businesses. A public consultation was carried out by the FSTB on legislative proposals to enhance AML and CTF regulations in Hong Kong through a licensing regime for VASPs, a two-tier licensing regime for DPMs and other miscellaneous technical amendments under the AMLO, the conclusions for which were published in May 2021. Generally speaking, there was broad support for the government to strengthen Hong Kong's AML and CTF systems, having regard to international standards, in keeping with Hong Kong's status as an international financial centre. The FSTB issued a LegCo brief in June 2022, summarising the proposed licensing regime for VASPs and annexing the Anti-Money Laundering and Counter-Terrorist Financing Amendment Bill 2022. The amendment bill sets out certain key provisions of the new licensing regime, while the detailed regulatory requirements will be finalised by the SFC following a further public consultation to be conducted after the enactment of the amended AMLO and before its implementation. Currently, the amendments to the AMLO are expected to come into effect on the 1st of January 2023, excluding certain provisions relating to the VASP licensing regime, which are expected to come into effect on the 1st of March 2023. Today, I'll talk about the proposed licensing regime for VASPs in the first half of the webinar, and then move on to look at the proposed registration regime for DPMs in the second half. Under the proposed VASP licensing regime, any person carrying on a business of providing a virtual asset service in Hong Kong or holding themselves out as doing so will need to be granted a VASP license by the SFC. It will be an offence for a person to actively market any VA services it provides outside Hong Kong to the Hong Kong public without a VASP license. Currently, the only activity defined as providing a VA service under the proposed legislation is operating a VA exchange. However, the amendment bill stipulates that the definition of a VA exchange may be amended by the Secretary for Financial Services and the Treasury by notice published in the Gazette. Operating a VA exchange will be defined under the amendments to the AMLO as providing services through means of electronic facilities, whereby offers to sell or purchase virtual assets are regularly made or accepted in a way that forms or results in a binding transaction, or persons are regularly introduced or identified to others so that they can negotiate or conclude or have a reasonable expectation of negotiating or concluding sales or purchases of virtual assets, and where client money or client virtual assets come into the direct or indirect possession of the person providing the service. The FSTB said in its May 2021 consultation conclusions that the new VASP licensing regime would not cover peer-to-peer trading platforms, which are platforms that only provide a forum where buyers and sellers of virtual assets can post their bids and offers with or without automatic matching mechanisms for the parties themselves to trade at an outside venue, provided that the actual transaction is conducted outside the platform and the platform is not involved in the underlying transaction by coming into possession of any client money or virtual assets at any point in time. Operators of peer-to-peer trading platforms will therefore need to ensure that their Hong Kong operations do not bring them within the definition of a VA exchange, for which they would need to be licensed with the SFC. The AMLO amendments define a virtual asset broadly as a cryptographically secured digital representation of value that is expressed as a unit of account or a store of economic value, either is used or intended to be used as a medium of exchange accepted by the public for payment of goods or services, for the discharge of a debt and or for investment, or provides rights, eligibility, or access to vote on the management, administration, or governance of the affairs in connection with or to vote on any change of the terms of any arrangement applicable to any cryptographically secured digital representation of value, and can be transferred, stored, or traded electronically. This definition would include Bitcoin, altcoins, and according to the FSTB consultation conclusions, stablecoins too, irrespective of the purported form of the underlying assets. Governance tokens are also potentially within the scope of the proposed definition. However, the definition doesn't cover digital representations of fiat currency, central bank digital currencies, and financial assets that are already regulated under the SFO, such as securities and futures contracts. Stored value facilities, which are separately regulated under the Payment Systems and Stored Value Facilities Ordinance, or limited purpose digital tokens, which include non-transferable, non-exchangeable, and non-fungible closed loop limited purpose items, such as air miles, credit card rewards, gift cards, customer loyalty programs, and gaming coins. So what about NFTs? It's worth noting that the FSTB has not specifically indicated whether or not non-fungible tokens, NFTs, would fall within the proposed definition of virtual assets. We note that whether an NFT is a VA depends on the circumstances, and it's important to consider not merely its form, but also its substance. It's therefore important for service providers to think about the actual nature of an NFT in ascertaining whether they need to apply for a VASP license. Based on the comments made by the administration at the meeting with the Bills Committee on 29th of July 2022, it seems that the intention is that NFTs, which are used purely as collectibles rather than payment or investment interests, will not constitute virtual assets within the definition to be included under proposed section 53ZRA of the AMLO. While it may be arguable that certain NFTs may not be captured by the definition of VA at the moment, the amended AMLO will empower the SFC to prescribe characteristics that bring a crypto asset within or exclude it from the definition of a virtual asset by publication of notice in the Gazette. As I mentioned earlier, the Secretary for Financial Services and the Treasury will also be able to specify in the Gazette that a particular crypto asset or category of crypto assets is or is not a virtual asset. Now, the proposed VASP licensing requirements under the revised AMLO. An applicant for a VASP license, as well as its responsible officers, licensed reps, directors, and its ultimate owners, which are defined to include any individual who owns or controls directly or indirectly more than 25% of the issued share capital of the VASP, or controls more than 25% of the voting rights at its general meetings, or exercises ultimate control over the management, will also be required to satisfy a fit and proper test. In determining whether a person is fit and proper, the factors which the SFC will take into consideration are modelled on the fit and proper requirements for licensed corporations, their responsible officers, and licensed reps under the SFO. These factors include, among other things, the person's financial status or solvency, the educational or other qualifications and experience they may have, evidence of their competence, honesty, and financial integrity, their conviction in Hong Kong or elsewhere for any money laundering or terrorist financing offences or other offence involving fraudulent, corrupt, or dishonest conduct, or failure to comply with any other regulatory requirements applicable to licensed VASPs. These requirements are aimed at enhancing the overall AML-CTF competency level of the sector, as well as providing a substantial level of investor and customer protection. To ensure that the SFC will be able to effectively monitor the operation of a licensed VASP, only locally incorporated companies with a permanent place of business in Hong Kong or companies incorporated overseas but registered in Hong Kong under the Companies Ordinance will be considered for the granting of a VASP license. Natural persons, businesses without a separate legal personality, such as partnerships and sole proprietors, and overseas incorporated companies that are not registered in Hong Kong under the Companies Ordinance will not be eligible for a VASP license. Under the new licensing regime, two classes of people, namely responsible officers and licensed reps of Avast, but also subject to requirements under the proposed regime. Thus, licensing applicants will be required to appoint at least two responsible officers who will generally be responsible for overseeing the operation of the licensed VASP and ensuring compliance with the AML, CTF and other regulatory requirements, and the responsible officers are to be held personally accountable in the case of non-compliance. Only individuals who have obtained SFC approval may serve as responsible officers of a VASP. The requirements for the responsible officers of VASPs mirror those for the responsible officers of licensed corporations under the SFO and require that at least one responsible officer must be an executive director of the VASP. If the VASP has more than one executive director, they must all be appointed as responsible officers. At least one responsible officer must be ordinarily resident in Hong Kong, and at least one responsible officer must be available at all times to supervise the business of the VA service. In addition, individuals who will provide VA services on behalf of a VASP, including those who will be its responsible officers, will need to obtain prior approval from the SFC as licensed reps accredited to the VASP. Applicants for a VASP license will need to seek the SFC's approval of the premises to be used for safeguarding records or documents as required under the AMLO. The premises must be non-domestic and must be suitable for storing the relevant documents and records. As a licensed VASP will be required to maintain a permanent place of business in Hong Kong and to observe the licensing conditions and regulatory requirements in the same way as a licensed financial institution, the new AMLO amendments will grant power to the SFC to enter the business premises of the licensed VASP and its associated entities for conducting routine inspections to ensure that the relevant statutory obligations have been met and to carry out any requisite investigations. Under the proposed licensing regime, VASP licenses granted by the SFC will be open-ended, meaning that the license will remain valid until it's revoked by the SFC, for example, because of misconduct or if the VASP were to cease operations. The rationale behind this is that a licensed VASP will need to make substantive investment in order to acquire the necessary scale and sophistication for operating a competitive VA exchange, and therefore a degree of certainty in the operating environment would be necessary. A licensed VASP will be subject to the SFC's ongoing supervision in respect of conduct and operation, and the SFC will have the power to review and revoke or suspend a license as necessary, notwithstanding the open-ended nature of the license. In the event that the VASP is found guilty of misconduct or is no longer fit and proper, the SFC would have the power to take disciplinary action against the VASP, including suspension or revocation of the VASP license. I look now at the various obligations of licensed VASPs under the new regime. Licensed VASPs will be subject to the existing AML and CTF requirements of the AMLO, which include conducting customer due diligence on customers prior to undertaking a business relationship, identifying whether a customer is a politically exposed person or high-risk customer for enhanced due diligence purposes, conducting ongoing monitoring, and maintaining certain AML and CTF records for prescribed time periods. In the case of non-compliance by a VASP with the statutory AML and CTF obligations, both the VASP and its responsible officers will commit an offence carrying maximum penalties of a $1 million Hong Kong dollar fine and 2 years imprisonment, or 7 years imprisonment if the non-compliance is committed with intent to defraud. They may also be subject to a range of disciplinary sanctions, including suspension or revocation of licenses, reprimand, an order to take remedial action, and a pecuniary penalty not exceeding 10 million Hong Kong dollars, or three times the amount of the profit gained or loss avoided, whichever is the greater, for misconduct such as contravening the AML-CTF or other regulatory requirements. In addition, licensed VASPs will have to comply with a stringent set of requirements which the SFC will impose as license conditions. The matters that may potentially be covered by license conditions are broad in scope and cover more aspects of the VASP's operations and activities. They include, among other requirements, the adequacy of the VASP's financial resources, knowledge and experience, risk management policies and procedures, management of client assets, virtual asset listing and trading policies, proper financial reporting and disclosure, mechanisms to prevent market manipulation and abusive activities, and avoidance of conflicts of interest. The SFC will prepare and publish for consultation detailed regulatory requirements before commencement of the licensing regime, with a view to providing more guidance for the industry on the regulatory expectations. Subjecting licensed VASPs to a robust set of regulatory requirements aims to ensure that they have the capacity and know-how to operate the VA business properly, so as to mitigate the risks posed to investors arising from system failure, security breach, or market manipulation. Licensed VASPs will only be allowed to provide services to professional investors as defined under the SFO, at least during the initial stage of the licensing regime. It's worth noting that this restriction will not be included in the amended legislation, but will instead be imposed as a licensing condition. The fact that this restriction is not hardwired into the legislation suggests that there may be flexibility for the SFC to review the position regarding retail investors in the future as the VA market matures. At the meeting of the Bills Committee on 19th of July, the administration said that the restriction to professionals will be included in the SFC's consultation on the licensing conditions for VASPs before the new regime comes into effect. Any person who proposes to become an ultimate owner of a licensed VASP must be approved in writing by the SFC. The SFC will need to be satisfied that the VASP will continue to be fit and proper if the ultimate owner is approved. In granting its approval, the SFC may impose conditions on the licensed VASP or the ultimate owner. A person who becomes the ultimate owner of a VASP without the SFC's approval and without reasonable excuse will commit an offence for which the maximum penalty is a fine of HK$1 million, 2 years imprisonment and a further fine of $5,000 for every day that the offence continues. A licensed VASP will be required to submit an annual return and pay an annual fee to the SFC within 1 month of each anniversary of the date of grant of its licence. Licensed VASPs and their associated entities, that's Hong Kong incorporated wholly owned subsidiaries that receive or hold client assets, will be required to appoint an auditor within 1 month of the grant of the VASP license and to file audited financial statements with the SFC within 4 months of the end of their financial year. A licensed VASP will be subject to various SFC notification requirements, including whether there is any change in any information provided by the licensed VASP or its ultimate owner, an intention to cease business as a VA service provider, a change in the address at which a VA service is provided, a change in the VASP's directors, an auditor of a licensed VASP or an associated entity ceasing to act, and a responsible officer or licensed representative ceasing to act for a licensed VASP. Under the AMLO amendments, any person operating a VA exchange in Hong Kong will therefore either need to apply for a license or cease operations in Hong Kong. The amendment bill contains transitional provisions for operators of VA exchanges carrying on business in Hong Kong before the commencement date of the regime, that's the 1st of March 2023, whereby they'll be able to continue to operate without a VASP license for up to 12 months, that's up to the 29th of February 2024. If the VA exchange wants to continue operation in Hong Kong after the 29th of February 2024, an application for a VASP license must be made to the SFC on or before the 30th of November 2023, following which the VA exchange will continue to be able to operate until the 29th of February 2024 under a deemed license if its license application is still pending until the earlier of the SFC's grant or refusal to grant a license and or withdrawal of the license application. The operation of the VA exchange, while it has a deemed license status, would not be considered as contravening the amended AMLO. To rely on this provision, the VA exchange must confirm in its license application to the SFC that it has been providing a VA service in Hong Kong immediately before the 1st of March 2023, and that with effect from the 1st of March 2024, it will comply and will have arrangements in place to ensure its compliance with the regulatory requirements applicable to licensed VASPs. VA exchanges considering entering the Hong Kong market should consider doing so as soon as possible in order to get the benefit of these transitional arrangements. If an existing VA exchange withdraws its license application or is refused a VASP license by the SFC, it will be given 3 months to close down its business in Hong Kong, although a written submission can be made to the SFC within the closing down period to request a time extension. During the closing down period, a VA exchange's activities must have the sole purpose of closing down the VA business. The proposed VASP licensing regime under the AMLO is narrower than that required by FATF, since it will only require the licensing of VA exchanges. FATF's definition of VASPs, on the other hand, also covers entities which transfer virtual assets, entities provided safekeeping and or administrative services for virtual assets or instruments enabling control over virtual assets, which would include certain types of custodians and wallet providers, and entities providing financial services relating to the offer or sale of virtual assets. Hong Kong's decision to restrict the focus to VA exchanges stems from the fact that VA exchanges are by far the most prevalent type of VA business in Hong Kong. The amount of VA activities conducted outside of VA exchanges is relatively small, and the fund movements of relevant businesses would be traceable for AML, CTF purposes when they interface with financial institutions. As with all other legal and natural persons in Hong Kong, they're also subject to the statutory obligations of reporting suspicious transactions and implementing targeted financial sanctions promulgated by the UN Security Council. Apparently, the Hong Kong regulators will, however, keep the position under review and extend the definition of VA service if necessary. As I mentioned earlier, the definition of VA service can be amended by the FSTB secretary at any time by notice published in the Gazette to maintain flexibility and to keep up with the fast-evolving nature of virtual assets. The Hong Kong licensing regime will, however, have added elements of investor protection, which are actually not required by FATF. The proposed restriction that VASPs will only be allowed to provide services to professional investors at the initial stage is not an FATF requirement. The restriction was imposed by Hong Kong regulators in their view to protect retail investors, given that virtual assets are a relatively new investment product involving higher risk than conventional market products. Next, I'll look at the regulatory powers of the SFC with regard to licensed VA exchanges. In general, the SFC will have broad supervisory powers to enforce the AML-CTF and other regulatory requirements under the revised AMLO. For example, it will be able to enter the business premises of licensed VASPs and their associated entities to conduct routine inspections, request production of documents and records, investigate breaches, and to impose appropriate disciplinary sanctions, such as reprimand, an order for remedial action, a fine and suspension or revocation of a person's license. The SFC will also be able to appoint an auditor to conduct an investigation into the affairs of a licensed VASP and its associated entities, where it has reason to believe that there's been a breach of the AMLO or any code or guidance published under it. In addition, the SFC will be given intervention powers to impose restrictions and prohibitions on the operations of a licensed VASP and its associated entities in certain circumstances. From the angle of investor protection, the default of a VA exchange would bring considerable loss to investors. Drawing reference from the SFO, the SFC has been given greater intervention powers to impose prohibitions and requirements in relation to the operation of a licensed VASP where the circumstances so warrant. Specifically, the SFC may require the licensed VASP and its associated entities to conduct business only in a specified manner, prohibit the licensed VASP and its associated entities from entering into any further transactions, or restrict the licensed VASP and its associated entities from disposing of client assets and other property in case of misconduct. The amended AMLO will include various offences punishable by fines and/or imprisonment in order to deter unlawful practice and non-compliance, including that it will be an offence to carry on a business of providing a VA service in Hong Kong or to hold oneself out as doing so without a VASP license. The offence will carry maximum penalties of a Hong Kong dollar 5 million fine and 7 years imprisonment, and a daily fine of 100,000 Hong Kong dollars for each day that the offence continues. To prevent local investors from being exposed to risks from unlicensed VA exchanges, the same penalties will apply where an unlicensed person actively markets a VA service they provide outside Hong Kong to the Hong Kong public. Making a fraudulent or reckless misrepresentation for the purpose of inducing another person to acquire or dispose of a virtual asset will constitute an offence under the amended AMLO, regardless of whether the transaction is conducted on a licensed VA exchange. A person who commits this offence will be liable to a fine of HK$1 million and 7 years imprisonment. A person will commit an offence if, in a transaction involving virtual assets, the person employs any device, scheme, or artifice with intent to defraud or deceive, engages in any fraudulent or deceptive act, practice, or business. Maximum penalties for this offence are a HK$10 million fine and 10 years imprisonment. It will be an offence for an unlicensed person to issue or possess for the purpose of issue an advertisement which holds the person out as prepared to provide a VA service. The offence carries a fine of HK$50,000 and 6 months imprisonment. Someone will commit an offence if they knowingly or recklessly make a representation to the SFC which is materially false or misleading, whether by omission or otherwise, in connection with a VASP licensing application. The offence carries maximum penalties of a fine of HK$1 million and 6 months imprisonment. Following the arrangements for all other sectors regulated under the AMLO, decisions made by the SFC in implementing the licensing regime for licensed VASPs and their officers will be subject to the established review mechanism of the Anti-Money Laundering and Counter-Terrorist Financing Review Tribunal. Now I'm going to move on to look at the new registration regime for dealers in precious metals and stones, which was proposed alongside the VASP licensing regime as amendments to the AMLO introduced to the Hong Kong Legislative Council in July 2022. The DPMS proposal addresses a concern raised by the FATF in its 2018 evaluation of Hong Kong, where it indicated that the exemption of DPMS and AML/CTF rules is not based on proven low risk. The FATF therefore recommended the Hong Kong government to introduce an appropriate level of AML/CTF requirements for the DPMS sector regarding money laundering and terrorist financing risks. There was general support for the proposed regulatory regime, given the important role played by the DPMS sector in Hong Kong's overall trade. So who will require a license? Under the new DPMS registration regime proposed under the AMLO amendments, any person carrying on a business of dealing in precious metals and stones in Hong Kong will need to be registered under either Category A or Category B with the Commissioner of Customs and Excise, who will establish conditions of registration on the registrants of both categories. It will be an offence for anyone to carry on a PMS business in Hong Kong or to claim or hold itself out as being authorised to do so or hold itself out as being a registered DPMS without such a registration. Dealing in precious metals and stones is defined to mean carrying on any of certain activities by way of business. These are trading in, defined to mean selling, offering for sale, purchasing, offering to purchase or possessing for sale, importing or exporting precious metals, precious stones, or precious products. Manufacturing, refining, or carrying out any value-added work, for example, cutting and polishing on precious metals, precious stones, or precious products. Issuing, redeeming, or trading in precious asset-backed instruments, or acting as an intermediary in respect of any of these activities. Precious metal will include gold, silver, palladium, iridium, osmium, palladium, rhodium, or ruthenium in a manufactured or unmanufactured state. Precious stones will include diamonds, sapphires, rubies, emeralds, jade, or pearls. Precious products will be defined as any jewelry, watch, apparel, accessory, ornament, or other finished product made up of, containing, or having attached to it any precious metal or precious stone or both, where at least 50% of its transaction price is attributable to the precious metal or precious stone or both. The definition doesn't cover any finished product that forms part of any medical device or industrial equipment. Precious asset-backed instruments will be defined as a certificate or an instrument which is backed by one or more precious metals, precious stones, or precious products. The definition does not cover virtual assets, which will be regulated under the proposed amendment bill discussed in the first part of today's webinar. And also, it doesn't cover financial assets already regulated under the SFO, such as securities, futures contracts, interests in collective investment schemes, structured products, and over-the-counter derivative products. Given the FATF requirement for DPMS engaging in large cash transactions to be subject to more rigorous scrutiny, there's a need to distinguish people who engage in large cash transactions from those who do not, in order to apply risk-based regulation. A two-tier registration regime will therefore be introduced under the revised AMLO, where the Customs and Excise will be able to separate DPMS who seek to engage in cash transactions at or above 120,000 Hong Kong dollars in the course of their business, and therefore would pose higher risks, from those posing lower risks from an AML-CTF perspective. The threshold of 120,000 Hong Kong dollars is set with reference to the threshold stipulated by the FATF, that's US dollars or euros 15,000 for defining large cash transactions. Category A registrants will only be able to engage in cash transactions with customers in respect of less than 120,000 Hong Kong dollars. They will not be subject to the AML and CTF requirements and will only be subject to registration conditions imposed by the Customs and Excise, as well as generally statutory obligations such as displaying a certificate of business registration at their business premises and notifying Customs and Excise of changes in particulars and of cessation of business. The registration of Category A applicants will be relatively straightforward, requiring only the filing of an application which is accompanied by certain documents: valid business registration certificate copy, a declaration that the applicant will carry out the proposed precious metals business for a lawful purpose, the applicant carries on and will continue to carry on the precious metal and stone business for a lawful purpose, for the existing DPMS operating in Hong Kong immediately before the 1st January 2023, which submit their registration application to Customs and Excise on or before 30th of September 2023, and the address of each business premises in Hong Kong and correspondence address. In registering an applicant as a Category A registrant, Customs and Excise will take into account whether the applicant will carry on the proposed precious metals and stones business for a lawful purpose, or whether the applicant carries on and will continue to carry on the precious metals and stones business for a lawful purpose in the case of existing DPMS operating in Hong Kong immediately before the 1st of January 2023, which submit their registration application to Customs and Excise on or before the 30th of September 2023. Category A registration granted by Customs and Excise will be open-ended. That is, it will continue unless revoked by Customs and Excise, for example, because of misconduct, change of registration category, or the DPMS ceasing operations. Dealers in precious metals and stones engaging in cash transactions at or above 120,000 Hong Kong dollars will be required to register as Category B registrants and will need to meet a fit and proper test. The AML-CTF obligations set out in Schedule 2 to the AMLO, as well as any registration conditions imposed by Customs and Excise and general statutory obligations. Applicants for Category B registration or renewal will be required to provide a copy of a valid business registration certificate, the address of each business premises in Hong Kong, and the correspondence address. An applicant for Category B registration, its individuals, partners, directors, and ultimate owners will also be required to satisfy a fit and proper test. The factors which Customs and Excise will take into consideration in deciding whether a person is fit and proper are similar to those taken into account by the SFC under the VASP licensing regime, and include the person's financial status or solvency, conviction in Hong Kong or elsewhere for any money laundering or terrorist financing offence or other offence involving fraudulent, corrupt or dishonest conduct, and failure to comply with regulatory requirements or other obligations of DPMS registrants. In relation to the registration or renewal requirements, which require a valid business registration certificate to accompany the application, a hawker who wants to carry on a PMS business will be exempted from business registration, provided that it's licensed under the hawker regulation, CAP 132AI. For registrants who are licensed hawkers, business premises will mean the location of the fixed pitch from which the person may hawk or the areas in which the person may hawk. Customs and Excise will take into consideration in registering an applicant whether the applicant who intends to use domestic premises as business premises for conducting face-to-face transactions, administering the registrant's affairs or business, processing transactions or storing documents, data or records, has secured the written consent of every occupant of the premises for any authorised person to enter the premises for routine inspection. Existing DPMS operating in Hong Kong immediately before the 1st of January 2023 with a valid business registration certificate will be able to continue to operate without a DPMS registration for up to 9 months. That's up to the 30th of September 2023. If they want to continue operation after the 30th of September 2023, they will have to apply to the Customs and Excise for a DPMS registration, provided that an existing DPMS submits its registration application to the Customs and Excise on or before the 30th of September 2023. The dealer will be able to continue to operate after the 30th of September 2023 if their registration application is still pending until the earlier of the custom and excise grant or refusal to grant a registration or withdrawal of the registration application. Registrants will have to comply with a set of requirements which Customs and Excise will impose as registration conditions. Under the revised AMLO, a registrant will have to display its certificate of registration in a conspicuous place at its principal place of business and at each of its branches, if they have any. If the registrant carries on a PMS business on a website through the internet or by other electronic means, it must provide this through other means specified by Customs and Excise for verifying the registrant's status. A registrant who doesn't display the certificate of registration in the particular way specified by the revised AMLO without reasonable excuse will commit an offence for which the maximum penalty is a fine of 50,000 Hong Kong dollars. In addition, under the revised AMLO, registrants must notify Customs and Excise in writing of various matters, including any change in any information provided by the registrant within 1 month of the change and an intention to cease business as a DPMS before the intended date of cessation. A person who fails to comply with these notification requirements will commit an offence for which the maximum penalty is a fine of 50,000 Hong Kong dollars. A Category A registration will remain valid for so long as the registrant continues to stay in business, subject to the payment of an annual fee to Customs and Excise on or before each anniversary of the date of the effective date of its registration. Category A registrants who fail to comply with the requirements for registrants will be subject to disciplinary sanctions other than a pecuniary penalty. A Category B registration granted by Customs and Excise will be subject to periodic review. That is, it will be in effect for 3 years unless it's extended by Customs and Excise. It will be renewable on expiry where fit and proper requirements are met. Migration between the two categories of registration is allowed on application, provided that the applicable registration criteria are met. Category B registrants will have to submit their renewal application to Customs and Excise at least 60 days before the expiry of the registration. Category B applicants, their individuals, partners, directors, and ultimate owners will be required to continuously satisfy the fit and proper test for renewal of registration, provided that a Category B registrant submits its renewal application to Customs and Excise at least 60 days before the expiry of the registration. The registrant will be able to continue to operate after the expiry of the registration if its renewal application is still pending until the earlier of Customs and Excise's grant or refusal to renew a registration and withdrawal of the renewal application. Registration will cease to have effect on discovery of misconduct where the relevant personnel are no longer fit and proper, change of registration category, or the DPMS ceasing business operations. A Category B registrant who fails to comply with the AML-CTF requirements of the AMLO will be subject to disciplinary proceedings and disciplinary sanctions, including reprimand, remedial order, maximum fine of 500,000 Hong Kong, and registration suspension or cancellation. If a specified cash transaction is carried out between two Category B registrants, the AML-CTF requirements do not apply to the paying registrant. Any person who proposes to become an ultimate owner, partner, or director of a Category B registrant must be approved in writing by Customs and Excise. Customs and Excise will need to be satisfied that the ultimate owner, partner, or director is fit and proper. Any person who becomes the ultimate owner, partner, or director of a Category B registrant without Custom and Excise's approval, without reasonable excuse, will commit an offence for which the maximum penalties are a fine of HK$50,000 and 6 months imprisonment. The DPMS registration requirements will not apply to the government, banks, licensed pawnbrokers, and SFC licensed corporations carrying on a PMS business that's ancillary to any regulated activity for which the corporation is licensed. Authorized insurers, licensed insurance broker companies, licensed individual insurance agents, licensed insurance agencies, licensed stored value facilities, systems operators, and settlement institutions of a designated retail payment system will also be exempted from the DPMS registration regime, provided that their PMS business is ancillary to their principal business. The amended AMLO will empower the Secretary for Financial Services and the Treasury to prescribe a class or description of exempted persons by way of regulation. Overseas dealers in precious metals and stones, such as foreign dealers coming to Hong Kong for trade fairs or dealing with Hong Kong DPMS and other customers, will also be exempted if the person either is not ordinarily resident in Hong Kong in the case of an individual, or is an overseas company without registration under the Hong Kong Companies Ordinance, and it doesn't have a place of business on Hong Kong, and the person does not carry on PMS business in Hong Kong for a total of more than 60 calendar days in any given year. So these overseas DPMS will not be subject to customs and excise registration requirements, and AML-CTF requirements that apply to Category B registrants, as it's considered that they're likely to pose lower money laundering and terrorist financing risks to Hong Kong due to their transitory nature. However, to mitigate the money laundering and terrorist financing risks of non-Hong Kong dealers and to meet the FATF requirements, overseas DPMS will be required to file a cash transaction report with Customs and Excise when they engage in a cash transaction at or above HK$120,000 in Hong Kong within 1 day of completion of the transaction, and in any event before their departure from Hong Kong. These reports will enable Customs and Excise to look for suspicious transactions and conduct follow-up investigations as necessary. The cash transaction report should include basic dealer information, travel information for each specified individual in relation to the transaction, transaction information, and basic customer information. An overseas DPMS who fails to file a cash transaction report in the manner and within the time specified will commit an offence for which the maximum penalty is a fine of HK$50,000 and 3 months imprisonment. Customs and Excise will be responsible for maintaining a register of DPMS. In granting its approval, Customs and Excise will enter the registrant's name in the register, as well as its registration category, principal business address, and each branch address, if any. Customs and Excise will issue a certificate of registration and issue a branch certificate for each branch, which is used for conducting face-to-face transactions and is not the principal place of business of the registrant. An applicant for registration, renewal, or approval will be required to pay a fee to Customs and Excise. Registration fees and the fees for conducting fit and proper tests will be waived for first registration made before 30th of September 2023. Customs and Excise will be empowered to waive fees with respect to any person or class of persons. The register will have to be made accessible to members of the public so that they're able to ascertain whether they're dealing with a Category A or Category B registrant. The register will be available for public inspection free of charge during normal office hours, and the Customs and Excise will be able to withhold the principal business or branch address in the public register from a person inspecting it if it's satisfied there's reasonable cause to do so. Customs and Excise will be given broadly supervisory powers to enforce the AML-CTF and other regulatory requirements under the revised AMLO. In particular, Customs and Excise will be able to enter the business premises of DPMS registrants to conduct routine inspections, investigate non-compliance, request production of documents and records, and impose disciplinary sanctions. Possible sanctions include a reprimand, an order for remedial action, a fine for Category B registrants only, and suspension or revocation of a person's registration. Customs and Excise may cancel or suspend a DPMS registration if the Category A registrant, is convicted in Hong Kong for the offence of carrying out a specified cash transaction in Hong Kong by way of business, or claiming or holding itself out as a registrant or an authorised person without Category B registration. The registrant fails to comply with customs and excise regulations or registration conditions, including fit and proper tests. They fail to pay the annual fee on or before the due date. They fail to comply with an order for remedial action, or they no longer hold a valid business registration certificate. The registrant's carried on or is carrying on or will do so for a business for an unlawful purpose, and the registrant fails to secure each occupant's consent for the use of domestic premises as business premises for its PMS business. A Category B registrant who fails to comply with an order for remedial action may be required to pay a daily fine of up to 10,000 Hong Kong dollars for each day that the offence continues. Similar to other sectors regulated under the AMLO, the Anti-Money Laundering and Counter-Terrorist Financing Review Tribunal will be empowered to determine an application for review of future decisions made by Customs and Excise in implementing the regulatory regime for DPMS. The amended AMLO will include various offences punishable by fines and or imprisonment. It'll be an offence to carry on a PMS business in Hong Kong or to claim or hold oneself out as a registered DPMS or as a person authorised to carry on a PMS business in Hong Kong without being registered as either a Category A or Category B DPMS. It'll also be an offence to carry out a specified cash transaction in Hong Kong by way of business or to claim or hold oneself out as a Category B registrant or as a person who's authorised to carry out the business of a specified transaction in Hong Kong without a Category B registration. This offence would carry a maximum penalty of 100,000 Hong Kong dollars, 6 months imprisonment and registration disqualification. Someone would commit an offence if in a DPMS application made to the Customs and Excise, a DPS notification given to Customs and Excise or any other document provided to Customs and Excise, and the person in these documents makes a false or misleading statement in a material particular and knows that or is reckless as to whether the statement is false or misleading in a material particular or omits a material particular which makes the statement false or misleading and knows that or is reckless as to whether the material particular is omitted from the statement. The offence will carry maximum penalties of a 50,000 Hong Kong dollar fine and 6 months imprisonment. Aside from the regulatory regimes for VASPs and DPMS, as I mentioned, a number of technical issues identified in the FATF's mutual evaluation report will also be addressed in the proposed legislative amendments. So these include amending the definition of politically exposed person, PEP, in accordance with the FATF requirement and allowing more flexibility in the treatment of former PEPs who are no longer entrusted with a prominent public function by allowing financial institutions to take a risk-sensitive approach in determining the degree of customer due diligence that is to be taken in respect of these people. Aligning the definition of beneficial owner in relation to trusts under the AMLO with that of controlling person under the Inland Revenue Ordinance by clarifying that where a trust is concerned, it includes trustees, beneficiaries, and classes of beneficiaries. Allowing the engagement of digital identification systems to assist the conduct of customer due diligence in situations where a customer is not physically present for customer identification and verification purposes so as to provide more flexibility, enhancing the deterrent effect for unlicensed money service operation by providing for a penalty of a fine of 1 million Hong Kong dollars and imprisonment for 2 years on conviction on indictment. Consolidating different provisions under individual parts of the AMLO regarding confidentiality of information obtained under the AMLO for AML-CTF purposes into a unified provision and including a prohibition in the AMLO on a person subject to inspection, investigation or disciplinary action from disclosing such confidential information. As I mentioned, the amendments to the AMLO are expected to come into effect on the 1st of January 2023, excluding certain provisions relating to VASP licensing, which are expected to come into effect on the 1st of March 2023. The Hong Kong government has taken considerable steps to beef up the AML-CTF regime, and the new AMLO amendments demonstrate that the Hong Kong government believes it has an ongoing commitment to addressing new and emerging risks. Looking ahead, it seems that Hong Kong will continue to evaluate updates from FATF, of which it's been a member of since 1991. So that brings us more or less to the end. Thank you again for joining me today. Thank you and bye.